All right, welcome back to Bible Line. I am your host, Pastor Jesse Martinez, and you're listening to the Bible Line audio exclusive Real Talk. This is our seventh episode of Real Talk. We've spent the last six episodes talking about the gospel, and I'm sharing with you some personal thoughts on personal evangelism. So I really want to kind of talk about the Catholic Church, not in a negative way, but just taking a look at some of the thoughts from Dr. A. Ray Stanford in his great book. I would strongly encourage this book, Personal Evangelism Handbook. And usually when you see the phrase handbook, it's not just something that you would read once and put away. This is kind of like a field book for how you're going to approach people. And I want to talk about the Catholic Church, particularly the Catholic Church and how we can win Catholics to Christ. I was just talking with a guy that I'm counseling, and we were talking about finding out what people believe. And we've already talked about this on our other episodes, but it's very helpful to find out where a person is before you start sharing the gospel with them. Not to say it's absolutely imperative, but it would be wise to see what do they already understand. And, you know, we do have common ground with the Catholic. There are some doctrines that are in common, but the real difference is, do you really mean what you say? You know, for example, when the Bible is the word of God, when that phrase is used, the Bible is God's word. Do they believe that like we believe it? Well, when I say the Bible is God's word, I mean that the Bible is God's word. There's no other interpretation that is needed to understand it. It speaks for itself. It is truth. It does not need to be corroborated, doesn't need to be verified by outside sources. But when the Catholic says the Bible is the word of God, they interpret it by the dictates of the Pope and their tradition. And we'll talk about that more as we get more into this subject. For example, another phrase that we probably would agree with the Catholic, Jesus is God. Absolutely. Jesus is the Son of God. He's also God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, these three in one, the Trinity. But the Catholic would also elevate the Pope and the Mother Mary to the heights of glory that are only belonging to Jesus. And we'll talk about Mary and how the Catholic Church has 100% deified her, made her like God. And we'll look at what the scripture says about Mary and, you know, come to a conclusion. Here's another thing that you would probably find yourself sharing common ground with the Catholic, that man needs a savior. And here's, they would agree with that, but they don't believe that Jesus alone can save man through man's faith in his payment for all their sin on the cross. They're going to add sacraments and confession, mass, which is where the Eucharist is given. And we'll talk about all that. And then another thing that you would probably say, and the Catholic would go, yeah, I believe that, is there is a heaven and a hell. They're going to add a limbo or purgatory, which is not taught in the scriptures. And they do not teach that the difference between going to heaven or hell is faith. What they believe is it's confession. You know, there's different types of sin, mortal, venial. We'll go into all that as we get into this. So these are the things that I kind of want to explore. So we have to remember this. Another thing that was brought up in a counseling session recently. People who teach error are deceived. They are not the origin of that deception. Okay, who is the originator of all deception? Well, that's Satan. So we can point the finger at him and say he's the reason why. But we have to recognize people who are just going along with the deception that they've been taught need to be brought to the light of the truth. And if you look at your Catholic friends and family members in this light, it helps you soften your approach. You're not going to somebody who's, you know, you're so dumb. You're preaching the doctrine of devils. They might not even know what they're doing is incorrect because this is just what they have been taught. So we've got to lovingly bring them to the knowledge of the truth. And the way that you do that is primarily through the Word of God. The more that you know what the Bible says on an issue, the easier it is going to be to show people that the Bible is the one that says this. Not me. This is not some fancy tradition that I've made up and you got to go along with my teaching because this is what we teach at 4811 George Road, and you know, they only teach truth out of there because that's their truth. No, we are teaching the Bible, so the onus is off of us and on God's word, and that's a great place to rest your faith. Okay, so the first thing we need to talk about is grace and works. So the main issue, this is the constant issue in witnessing to a Catholic, is grace and works. There's all these rites and rituals and rules that the Catholic Church has set up, and they have to follow these things if there's any hope of reaching heaven. And this may be centuries after they die. And this is important to recognize. It's really interesting, but true, when a group is off on grace and works, they're off on every other doctrine. Remember, Galatians 5:9 tells us, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. When you're witnessing to a Catholic, you think you've gotten the plan of salvation across to the person, then they're going to say a comment or ask a question that tells you right away they're not fully understanding that salvation is by faith and not of works. And this reason is because they've had teaching after teaching etched into their minds since they were a little kid, teaching them that faith and works is required for a person getting to heaven. You know, there's error brought in all the time, and it's from the devil, like we've talked about. But we've got to remember what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11 in verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. In Colossians 2:8, Paul says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after traditions of men and rudiments of the world and not after Christ. And I think Colossians 2:8 just does a really good job of telling you quite plainly what the Catholic Church is doing. It is deceiving people through philosophy, vain deceit, tradition of men, and just rudiments of the world. You know, their loud claims in the Catholic Church is that it was built upon Peter and to adore the saints and to exalt Mary and, you know, talking about if Jesus had brothers and the necessary of confession to priests, the rosary. You could argue all day with Catholics about those things, but you'd never lead them to Christ. So you've got to keep it on the main thing, which is grace versus works. It's very simple. If you were to approach a Catholic or you've got somebody in your family who is a Catholic, you can ask them, you know, how do you know you're getting to heaven? If you were to die today, do you know for a fact that you would be in heaven? And based off their answer, you can go from there. They say, yes, I know. You can ask them, what gives you such assurance? If they say, well, I hope so, but I'm just not sure, you can say, why are you not sure? And if they say, no, I have no assurance that I'm going to heaven, you can ask them, would you like to know how you can have assurance? But all these smaller things, you know, we got to be careful that we don't major in the minors. Because what that does is just causes division, folks. That's exactly what it is. Causes division, and you can win them. Like, let's say you spend 30 minutes talking about the insufficiency of the exaltation of Mary, and you've ruffled feathers and you've duked it out, and at the end of it, you're right, they're wrong, and they walk away. They're mentally exhausted from that conversation. They're just done. Well, do they have to believe that Mary is a regular human in order to get to heaven? No. Is it wrong to exalt Mary? Yes, but what's worse? Well, what's worse is trusting in your works to save you. So we got to keep these issues on the current issues, okay? Grace versus works. Those of you who have been born again, you've believed on Jesus Christ, you've got the Holy Spirit, and he's helping you get a clear understanding of Scripture on all these things. But the person that has been brought up in the Catholic Church is probably not born again, so they do not have the benefit of the Holy Spirit teaching them details on the Word of God. And you got to remember, the Holy Spirit, according to John 16:8-11, the Holy Spirit is convincing the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. They're being convinced of sin because they don't believe on Christ as their Savior. If you do your witnessing in cooperation with the Holy Spirit, which is speaking the gospel, you're going to be on the same side of God trying to reach these people. God does not hate the Catholic. He does not hate the sinner. He loves the sinner and has died for them through the death of his son. He hates sin and it separates us from him, but he wants people to be saved. The Bible clearly says that, that God wants all people to come to the knowledge of the truth. Man, that means that we should be of the same mind, and we do that by keeping the main issue, which is grace versus works. All right, so let's talk about this here, and then we'll discuss more in our next few episodes. So when you're looking at the Roman Catholic Church, and I use Roman Catholic Church because really that's what Dr. Stanford used here, but it's more called just the Catholic Church nowadays. But they compartmentalize sin. Okay, you've got venial sin and you've got mortal sin. Let me read you directly from the Catechism. What is a venial sin? And this is important because this is how they... Well, I'm going to heaven because I don't have a lot of mortal sin. I've got more venial sin, blah, blah, blah. Here's what they say is a venial sin. Now, remember, the Catholic Church supposedly is built upon the first pope, which is Peter. So we should be able to see in Scripture these principles applied. Let's see what the definition of a venial sin is. Venial sin is a less serious offense, so sin, against the law of God, his standard of perfection, which does not deprive the soul of sanctifying grace and which can be pardoned even without sacramental confession. So this is very interesting. There's a couple things that we see here. Number one, a venial sin is something that assaults the law of God, but it does not deprave the soul of sanctifying grace. Sanctifying grace, I wonder what they mean by that. Well, obviously, they're talking about saving grace, you know, the grace that was demonstrated on the cross, and it can be pardoned without sacramental confession. So without partaking of the elements and confessing, you can get over your venial sin. God will wash that sin away by you just acknowledging that it's sin. That's something that the believer can do through the fellowship that they have with the Lord and the proper confession practice. But to an unregenerated person, to a lost person, coming to an agreement about sin does not save you. That's what confessing sin is. Yes, it's wrong. I won't do it again. That's not what saves you. Now, in the Catholic doctrine, there's also the mortal sin. And according to the same catechism, the Baltimore Catechism, here's what mortal sin is. Mortal sin is a grievous offense against the law of God. Why is the sin called mortal? The sin is called mortal or deadly because it deprives the sinner of sanctifying grace, the supernatural life of the soul. So it takes away their ability to be saved, these mortal sins. That's my commentary, getting back to the definition here. Besides depriving the sinner of sanctifying grace, what else does mortal sin do to the soul? Besides depriving the sinner of sanctifying grace, mortal sin makes the soul an enemy of God, takes away the merit of all its good actions, and deprives it of the right to everlasting happiness in heaven, and makes it deserving of everlasting punishment in hell. The Bible says we were all enemies before we came to faith in Christ. That's in Ephesians chapter 2. We were enemies, we were aliens, we were alienated from God and from fellowship with him. But through faith in Christ, we now have access to God. But the Catholic Church teaches differently. There are sins that are not so bad that still make you savable, but then there's some that, man, you can't get to heaven anymore. You become an enemy of God. We're all born separated from God. The Catholic Church does recognize Adamic sin, that is the sin or sin nature which man inherits from Adam. And it's for this sin that Christ supposedly died, but you have to show the Catholic that Jesus Christ has completely paid the full price for all of his sin. So the first thing that you would do when you're looking at this venial and mortal sin issue is you're going to go to James chapter 2 and verse 10. Many of you know James chapter 2 and verse 10. It's a very well known in regards to showing people how much they have to keep in order to meet the requirement of the law. How much of the law? And James 2:10 says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." So that's pretty clear. You're aiming to keep them all. You offend in one point, you're guilty of breaking them all. And also we have in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10, "For as many are as of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Notice, it does not say cursed are those who continue in not doing the venial or not doing the mortal. It's all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident the just shall live eternally by faith. Christ hath redeemed us, verse 13, from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. There's nothing here about confession, nothing there about venial or mortal. So you want to make sure that you show your Catholic friend that. Your church says venial sin can still get you to heaven if you confess it, and mortal sin keeps you separated. The Bible says all sin separates us. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Second, you're going to want to use Scripture to show that all sin, no matter how one classifies it, has been paid for by Christ. My favorite one, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. Love this verse. It is my fave. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. All of them. Venial, mortal, many, major, all of them. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 24, another good reference here, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. All sins, many, major, venial, mortal, all paid, all taken care of. There's also another one here in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. For Christ also hath suffered once for sins, the just, Jesus, for the unjust, the sinner, that he, Jesus, might bring us to God, us being those who have put our faith in him, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened, made alive in the Spirit. So that's good news. We can be brought to God by the blood of Jesus Christ, by his offering on the cross. My favorite one as well, along with 1 John 2:2, is Acts 13:38 through 39. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So let's just do a little study here. Through this man, that's Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Again, it's not categorized what those sins are, so it must be all of them. And it says forgiveness is available. Forgiveness is actually preached. It's declared through Jesus. Verse 39, and by this same Jesus, all that believe are justified from all things. So how do I become justified? From all things, I believe. How many things am I justified from? All of them. And he even adds on, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. So if it's good enough for all my sins to be paid for, what is the point of marking them as venial or mortal? And why do we make venial contain some type of standard of righteousness? Well, you can still go to heaven if you do venial sin. Oh, heaven's a perfect place. No sin is there. Now, to a Catholic, this is all like, oof, this is kind of game-changing, you know? And when we meet next week, we'll talk more about this topic, all right? But I want to thank everybody for listening. As always, we greatly appreciate you. Make sure you like and you subscribe. All our iHeartRadio listeners, we see you. We thank you. Over 60% of our audience over there on iHeart. But subscribe to us everywhere. And if you have a Bible question, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, email it to us. Check us out on YouTube, Bible Line with Jesse Martinez. You can type my name in there and you'll probably find me now. The channel is growing. We're over 1,100 subscribers. If you haven't subbed on YouTube, go ahead and do that. But next week, we'll continue talking about this doctrine in the Catholic Church, and we'll talk about how we can be cleansed from sin, what the Roman Catholic says you have to do, and then, of course, what the Bible says, and then we'll get into other things as well. You've been listening to Real Talk. I'm your host, Pastor Jesse Martinez, on Bible Line. Until next time, keep looking up, because Jesus Christ certainly is coming soon. God bless you. Take care. If you enjoyed today's episode of Bible Line, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bible Line is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.